He said, you won't even see it. You won't even be able to see it. When God made Adam, Adam was a perfect man. He had a body. He had a soul. He had a spirit. Now I want to show you what God showed me. Some of you may understand this. Some of you may not understand this. Some may agree. Some may not agree. Doesn't matter to me. It works. Try it. God showed this to me. When God made Adam, he gave him a body. He gave him eyeballs to see with, ears to hear with, fingers to feel with, nose to smell with. He had five senses. He had a mind, a soul. A soul. And with that soul, he could take of that information of this world and this planet, and he could assimilate it and know how to move about and how to do things. But God also gave Adam a spirit. And that spirit had eyes. And that spirit had ears. And that spirit could smell. And that spirit could hear. And that spirit had the same five senses that the body had. But that spirit's eyes and ears and smell and all was for the kingdom of heaven. It was so they could see heaven, could hear heaven, could smell heaven, could look into the throne room of God and walk right in there and say, Lord, I'm here. What would you have me to do? And when that man, Adam, ate of that tree of knowledge between good and evil, God cut that soul off from that spirit. Cut that soul off from that spirit. That's why they say today, these people run around today and say, man has a sixth sense. Not a sixth sense. They're just sensing that spirit that got cut off. They're just sensing that spirit that got cut off. Like the man that gets his leg cut off. He can still feel his toes. It still itches down there. He wants to itch it, but he can't. So he has to go for the stump. Well, that's the way it is. Everybody has this thing in them. They know there's something out there. Now, Satan would take it. Satan would take it and twist it. And use it against you. Do great lying things with it. Great lying things. But my God says that when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you're born again, man, God takes that spirit stump and that soul stump, and he puts them together with Jesus in the middle. And that gives you the ability to see again in the Spirit, and hear again in the Spirit, and smell again in the Spirit, and talk in the Spirit, and do all things that God would have you to do in the Spirit. Then, with that Holy Spirit ghost in between you, you can go into the throne room of God, and you can converse with angels. That's the power of God. That's what he was trying to tell Nicodemus. He's telling him, don't come here flattering me. Don't you come out here flattering me in the middle of the night, telling me you know that I'm of God because of these works that I do. Man, you don't even know God. You don't know nothing about God. You don't know God because you can't see God. He's standing right here in front of you, and you're too stupid to see it. That's what Jesus was saying to those Pharisees. That's what he was saying to them. If you could see the kingdom of God, you'd see God written all over me. Jesus is my name, is what Jesus would have been saying to him. I can imagine your neighbors out there right now hearing parts of this message. My God, that preacher's in there calling himself Jesus. You love the Lord, say amen.
Amen.
I'll tell you what. Like Nicodemus, many saints today, many people today, they do believe on God. And they think they know God, and they think they know a lot of things about God. But they can't see the kingdom of God. They can't see the kingdom of heaven. But Jesus is standing there and he's saying, I want you to see it. I want you to taste it. I want you to smell it. I want you to hear it. I want you to be able to walk boldly before the throne of grace of my God and get help when you need it. That's the kind of God that we have. Amen? I want to sing that song again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Y'all be seated. I'm going to spread some of this fun around here tonight. I'm having a good time, and I feel led of the Lord to let some other people have a good time. Carrie, come up here. Give that little boy to your mother there. Praise God. Hallelujah. She's saying, oh no, he's calling on me. Praise God. You love the Lord. Carrie was one of them little angels that was painted black and head bowed down by Satan, and he had been telling her she was a terror. But my God took that old paint off and showed her she was gold. Pointed her face up to the heaven and said, you ain't no terror, you're a wheat. Amen. Say something for the Lord, honey.
The Lord's been dealing with me and being content with the things that I have and to be happy with what he's given me. We don't have to have a lot, but, you know, as long as we have Jesus, that's all we really need.
Hallelujah. It's kind of hard to get caught right off guard like that, huh? Amen. Kimmy, you coming down here. I'll take the booger butt there. This is a booger butt. They're always booger butts when they're that age. To get a little older, they change. Hi. Don't come to me. There you go. This is my granddaughter.
Was it Monday night when we had visitors outside the tent? And, well, that afternoon when I came here, I was feeling depressed and down, and I wasn't really into going to revival. But as things started hitting the tent outside, at first I felt fear. But then all of a sudden it came to me that I wasn't going to let adversity stop me. I was going to be walk in courage and walk in the Lord, and nothing was going to stop Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Give her a cheer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I like picking on ladies. Amanda, come on down here for a minute. There's another one, Lord, just grabbed right out of the fire. Took her right out of the fire. Feet were down, dangling in the fire. Jesus reached down, grabbed her, and pulled her up. Amen. Amen. Say something for the Lord.
Okay. Well, I just want to thank the Lord for taking me and calling me to do what he has for me to do. And you all don't know exactly what happened, so I'll tell you all what happened. When I moved up here from Maryland at the age of 15, I was very upset and angry, and I became very depressed and very suicidal, and I tried to kill myself a whole bunch of times. And I mean, when I tried to kill myself, it wasn't like I just take a couple of pills. It was a lot of pills, and yet I felt no effects. And then I began to see things and to hear things that were not of the Lord but were from Satan. And I kept trying to kill myself, and one day I ran away, and I took all these pills, and I was going to do it this time. And I kept taking more and more and more and more and more and more and more, and I felt absolutely no effects from it, and it had to be because of Jesus. He had, every time he had saved me, and I knew it, and so I just said, all right, Lord, I give up. And when I did that, he forgave me of my sins, and he delivered me of all my problems. He has also done that for my family. My brother Earl. Earl, stand up for a minute, please. When he was in my mother's womb, he never moved. And it's a miracle that he was ever born alive. And and my mother, stand up, Mom. It's okay, you don't have to be embarrassed. She stands by me, and We haven't had a lot of money, but she's always taken very good care of us, and she's served the Lord, and she's she's crying right now. And James still has a lot to learn being stand up. But James, when he was born, came out with a cyst in his eye that would get infected. Every time you pulled it down, a big bubble would come out of his eye. And he had to get surgery on it. And it was caused from the disease that I was given to him. I was insane. And but the Lord delivered him from that. And he's going to raise James up if James will just obey and listen and follow the Lord. And I think right tonight I've felt a real spirit of the Lord wanting to show us how unrighteous we are, but that he forgives us, because that's all we are, is we're just unrighteous. And but he will fill us with his righteousness if we will just but let him and ask him and confess our sins and ask him to give us his righteousness, because without his righteousness, we are just as the Pharisees and we will never make it to heaven.
Amen. Hallelujah. Tell you what, Mother, there's been a change in her over the last week. Spirit has moved on her. Spirit has moved on her. Who else can I pick on? Let me see. Come on over here, Paul. Did he let you preach that this morning? Tonight, rather. Well, come and say a quick one here.
I was doing some thinking today, and this, when I first came to the Lord, I was just wandering through the Bible, and I got to Proverbs, and no one had talked to me about Proverbs or anything like that. Just felt led to go there. And in chapter 1, I believe it's verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And that stuck out very strong, because I did fear the Lord. I believed in God. I thought I was okay. Just, you know, as long as I believe in God, you know, I'm okay. I found out, you know, a little bit later on, there's a lot more involved than just that. But during my walk, trying to walk with the Lord in my earlier days, I stumbled quite a few times. And he let me. So I learned a lot of valuable lessons out of the whole ordeal. And that fear of the Lord has always has gotten me back on focus with the Lord. Because all he has to do is say, hey, I've had it. Had it with you. You're gone. I don't want that to happen to me. My prayer is for Jesus Christ to, you know, come down and say, thou faithful servant. And just that alone is more than enough for me to keep that focus and to learn his ways and all of that. But I fear the Lord. I fear the Lord, because there is no greater power. I cannot be greater than God. None of you can be greater than God. To put it simply, we could just try to be accepted of God by doing his will. And it is a beautiful thing. That is a beautiful thing. And every now and then I forget all about that proverb. That proverb in chapter 1, verse 7 hit me the hardest. I was in my room, and I never really cried that much. And I sat in my room, and I'll tell you what, I bawled for hours. And I started seeing things that the Lord was showing me. people around me. There's more to it than just meets the eye. And just that fear of the Lord is good. It's good. Don't get me wrong. That fear of the Lord is great. It's a good motivation. It really will get you moving. I'll tell you what. And just in this past week alone, the Holy Spirit moving, moving in me, really is, you know, it's the greatest feeling you can have. There's nothing better on earth. It's a feeling, you can't even describe it. You can't. You're just bouncing off the walls. And I mean, there's a lot of things that the Lord hasn't shown me yet, but I'm kind of happy on what He's shown me so far. He's been dealing with me, my stupid attitude, and my wanting to do everything my way kind of thing. He's been dealing with me, and that's the loving God. And there's another thing that stuck out to me too, and that's three words. Praise the Lord. Tonight we were praising the Lord. Just those three words. Praise the Lord. He loves that. He loves to hear His children praising Him. And we're His children. And just for us to praise the Lord, He looks down and He says, "All right, I got some children down there. Okay, I got some children down there. And they're wanting to learn. They're wanting to learn. They're wanting to know what's going on. And I'm their father. And I'm going to give them each a little bit here and there when they can accept it, when they can deal with it. And they're going to go forth and glorify me. And if they don't, it's thanks to be you." And then He's going to, you know, help you out. Because let me tell you something, you can't do nothing on your own. You might fool yourself. You might fool others. But you will not fool a Spirit-filled Christian. You might think that you can do it by yourself, but I'll tell you what, it ain't happening. There'll be demons there that might make it look like you're doing it yourself, but you're not. The Lord's able to break through all of that garbage. These are just a few of the things that I've shared with you that I've dealt with. I've had Satan come to me, pin me up against a wall. I had an angel of the Lord Himself come down, pick me up, and shake me. And these things have all happened. And I wake up. "What's up?" Looking around my room, put the light on. "Hey, what's going on over here? What's happening? This is all new to me." I mean, I didn't have goosebumps. I had a mountain growing off my arm. "You think I'm big now? You should have seen me after that." And the Lord was good because He showed me the difference in each situation. He showed me how to defeat Satan while I'm sleeping. Very simple. Very simple. And it's not hard for me to explain. I could tell you how he showed me it, but that was when I learned that Satan is real. Okay, there is a heaven, there is a hell. I haven't seen hell. I don't want to see hell. But I know there's a Satan. And he's not a good-looking dude. He's not a good-looking dude at all. But I guess my message is Jesus Christ, our Lord, can defeat him. No problem. And if you allow him to help you do that, you will be delivered from it. Thank you.
Amen. Give the Lord a cheer. Amen. You know, Fishman Ministries God called the fisherman ministries to go fishing. Catch fish. And some of those fish, he says, make preachers out of. Don't make preachers out of them. And I enjoy giving these young people a chance to preach or witness or testify. A lot of places, I remember when the Lord called me to the ministry and the Lord put His Spirit upon me, I wanted to preach so bad I could taste it. I went out and preached to cows. There was a field of cows out near where I lived, and I'd just go stand out there and preach to them. I'd try to find one of them and look my direction, and I'd start preaching Jesus to them. Or I'd go down the lake and find me a frog sitting over in a bush or somewhere and start preaching to it. Or a bird or anything. I'd preach to, you know, if I couldn't get an animal, I'd preach to a tree. It didn't matter. I just had to preach. I had to preach. I had to preach. And I'd go to churches and none of them would let me say anything for the Lord. None of them would let me speak for the Lord. You know, and I'd travel with another ministry for a while and never got a chance to open my mouth, never got a chance to witness. And I always said, Lord, if you give me a tent, if you give me a ministry, I have people with me. When they come to the Lord, I want to let them have a chance. They may make mistakes, but I've never known a child yet that when he first walked didn't fall down. Man, the worst thing we can do as Christians is stifle the fire of the new believer. That's the worst thing we can do. The worst thing we can do. My Bible says He baptized us with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Now, when you get water and you get fire, you got steam. And when you got steam, you got power.
Amen.
You got power. And that is a law. That's a law. That is a scientific law. You take water, you take fire, and you heat that water with that fire, and you got steam, and if you enclose it, it's going to explode. And sometimes when it explodes, it's going to make a mess. It's going to make a mess. And you won't know where it's going to explode. I found it's a lot better to let off a little of that steam every now and then. Let it have a little chance to work. That way it don't explode on you sometime when you least expect it. Amen? And it also keeps the believer going. It keeps that fire going. Keeps that fire going. Amen, amen, amen. We have a... move going on. It's a move of the Lord. And it's different. But it's the same. I feel just led here to share these little things with you. I used to be as non-denominational as anybody could be. I mean, there are people here who have known me for 17 years. Robin, you've known me for 17, Warren, 17, Ann. Know me for 17 years, and there was no one more anti-denominational as I was. No one. I was so against them. Just totally against them. And when the Lord said to me that He wanted me to put together a ministry called the Fisherman Ministries Evangelistic Association, and He wanted me to call it an interdenominational ministry, I like to have a fit. I like to have a fit. In fact, to be honest with you, the Lord told me to do this back in 1983. Now, this is a shame. This is shameful. But it hadn't been until 1992 that I actually did it. Isn't that a shame? Isn't that terrible? My, my, my. What could we have been doing if I'd have did it then? I just kept going around it. Well, I'll do this bit. I'll do that bit. And the Lord says, I don't want to waltz. I want to run. I don't want you to go to the left hand or to the right hand. I want you to stay right on the mark. And that's what we do sometimes. See, sometimes we waltz around what God wants us to do because for one reason or other, we don't like it. I didn't want to go to them old Pentecostals. I used to be a Pentecostal. Some people say I still am a Pentecostal. I just like being called a Jesus freak. I like that term. My mother used to yell at me. She'd say, Davy, you're a fanatic Jesus freak. I used to get all upset. I go, went home, looked it up in the dictionary one day, and it said that a fanatic was someone who believed in something more than a person calling them a fanatic. I loved it. I couldn't wait to get my mother to jump on me again. I put that dictionary up, went straight to her house and started preaching. I got to preaching and she finally, it worked. It worked. She said, just shut up, just shut up. You're a fanatic. I said, thanks, Mom. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory to Jesus. You're going crazy. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. You're a fanatic. Jesus freak. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. She said, Richard, what? David. And then she called me Richard. Richard, what is your problem? You always tell them my mother was mad at me. She called me Richard. Davy was when she liked me, but Richard was when I was in deep trouble. Isn't that strange? My wife does the same thing. Wonder if there's something to that. Well, I'll pray about it. Anyway, put that back there and think about it later. Anyway, she said, Richard, what is your problem? I said, Mother, you just told me I believe in Jesus Christ more than you do. That's all. What do you mean? I said, well, a fanatic is someone who believes in something more than a person calling them a fanatic. And by calling me a fanatic, you have confessed with your mouth that I believe in Jesus more than you. Ooh, gee, man. She started calling me names, and when she told me to leave her house, she confessed to me that she was an unmarried woman when she had me. Know what I mean? Some of you are a little slow. Anyway, got home that night. Give her a cheer. Praise be to God. It took a while, but Cindy got it. Hallelujah. They love the Lord. Said, praise the Lord. Well, just go ahead and enjoy it. Hallelujah. The rest of us can wait. Praise God. I love having fun in church. Amen. Had some people come to one of my meetings and just try to remember where I was because I know I got to go back to that. But I had some people go to one of my meetings one time and they said to me, Bible says there's not supposed to be levity in the church. And I said, really? That's right. Not supposed to laugh in the church. Oh, excuse me. I forgot. It's a funeral. Jesus is dead. Oh, hail the dead Jesus. Let's cry and moan the dead Jesus. He got a big cross of him up there, you know. Got nails in his head, you know, or those big thorns about that long. Nails through his hands. And they all hail the King Jesus. Nah, Jesus is risen from the dead. Amen. They can worship the dead one. I'll worship the living one. They can go for the one that's in the ground. I'll go for the one that's in the throne. They can go for the one that hung on the cross. I'll go for the one that got off the cross.
Amen.
There were thousands of Jews hung on crosses at that day. In those days. Thousands of them hung on crosses in those days. But only one of them got up.